All right. So we are in week two. Are you guys ready for the word of God?
Yeah.
Amen. Wow. Okay, you are. It's so good to see you here. Did you guys fast well? Some of you. Oh, okay. Do you guys break fast well? Even better, right? Okay. Yeah. For those of you who missed out, okay, the whole of last week was our every nation prayer and fasting. Okay, so every year, not just here in Malaysia, but worldwide, okay, globally, every nation, churches, everywhere, they take part in this prayer and fasting, okay? So if you missed out, too bad for you, just join us next year, okay? It was amazing, and the theme was Amazing Grace. So we are in this message series, okay? And we are in week two, and week two, we are talking about the justifying grace of God, okay? And subtitle there, how amazing grace transforms our eternity, okay? Let me just ask all of you a question, okay? For those of you here that you have been Christian for some time, okay? Have you ever felt like in your Christian walk, okay, that there were times when it is hard to feel like you deserve God's grace? Are there times in your life where you feel like, I didn't do well. I didn't deserve it. I didn't meet God's standard. And it's hard to live like that. Well, if you have ever felt even a hint of that, today's message is going to be for you. Okay, and so we're talking about God's justifying grace. And this is our key verse. Okay, I think last week we were in Romans, I believe. Okay, today we are looking at a passage in Titus in chapter 3. Okay, so Titus is a book in the Bible, and this is what it says. Okay, it says, why don't we read together? 1, 2, go. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, so we're talking about God's grace that justifies us. Okay, but before we go there, let me see what's my next slide. Okay. Before we go there, last week, if you were here, I said that in order to really appreciate God's grace, we got to know really how wretched we are in our condition. You guys remember that? And then we went through the 10 commandments of God. And the same thing here, before he even talks about God's justifying grace, this is in verse 7, okay? We have to rewind a little bit back to verse 3, okay? So verse 3 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passion and pleasures. This is describing the state that you and I were once in, okay? Don't you never tell them, I was once like that. All right, okay. Now, you don't sound convinced that you were once like that, okay? Which is what we tried to capture last week, okay? You see, we tend to think that we are better off in our own eyes than what we actually are. Is that true or not, right? We tend to think, in terms of the relationship we have between us and God, we tend to think we are better off. But last week, when we measured, okay, when we counted our own sin, okay, when we counted our own gap, okay, all of us, we realize that we actually fail so epically, that we are so far away from God, we actually don't deserve any of it, okay? So it's true. Turn to a different person and tell them, I really once was like that. Okay? All right. And so we come back to the question at the beginning. Even though the scripture says we were once like that, isn't it true in our walk towards discovering God and following Jesus, isn't it true that sometimes we feel like we also fail? Sometimes we feel like, you know, we couldn't make it. Sometimes we feel like, oh man, why am I, you know, sinning again and again? Why is this gap between me and God getting bigger? It happens, yeah? And today, the Bible's good news for us is contained in verse 4, okay? But, everybody say but. Okay, this is written by the Apostle Paul. Every time Paul writes but, it's always good news after that. Okay, so the good news for all of us who have felt like that, who have felt like we're not only once was before that, but I still am, the answer for all of us is but. Okay, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. Okay, so This is the good news, that God's loving kindness, because He loved us so much, okay? He appeared, and He continues to say, I'm trying to click, yes, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, all right? And I just want to focus everyone here on the first part here. He says, He saved us, meaning to say, we didn't save ourselves. Okay, not because of works done by us in righteousness. That means all our works, whatever we counted that was good, it was not counted out. It was not. We cannot produce righteous works in our state of being. But, a second but, okay? But according to His own mercy, it means that it is not us, but it is God. It is not anything we did, but it is who God is. And He is the God of love, and He is the God of kindness. He is the God of mercy, and He pours that out. We'll continue to read that later, okay? I just want to pause here to say this, okay? We tend to think this, all right? We tend to think God is so amazing in His love that He loves us for who we are. And sometimes we do say that, yes? Right? Do you believe this, that God loves you for who you are? Actually, it's not true. Or at least, it's not accurate. It is more accurate to say that God doesn't love you for who you are. It is more accurate to say God loves us despite who we are. That means even though we are rebellious, even though we are far away from God, God still loved us. That's how good God is, all right? And so He doesn't love us in our state of, you know, being in rebellion towards Him, being far away from Him, against Him, you know, all of those things. He still loves us despite that, okay? That's how great God is. Let's continue in the scriptures, okay? Verse 5, okay? Okay, it continues after that. It says that, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is the way that God saved us. This is the way that He poured out His mercy onto us. And here is all very technical terms. Suffice to say, this term regeneration, the washing of regeneration. Okay, everybody say regeneration. Regeneration is the technical word that the Bible used to describe what is being born again. Okay. Being born, you guys understand, right? Being born again, when the scripture says that we are a new creation, the old has gone and the new has come, this is what it's talking about. And so, back to again, God loves us despite of who we are. So when God saved us, okay, He is not saying that, okay, well, I'm so merciful to you that, you know, even though you're in that state, come on down to heaven, you know, I'm going to wash you, I'm going to renew. No, it says here that we don't actually stay the same way we are, okay? We don't stay the same way we are when we come into repentance before God, because it says here, old things have gone, new things have come, right? That's why in the earlier verse, right, it talks about, I once was like that. We were once like this, but no more, not any longer, because we are now a changed person. Could you turn to your neighbor and tell them, oh, you look different for 2020. Did you do something new? Was it your hair? Was it new clothes that you bought for Chinese New Year, okay? Let me tell you, the good news here is that there's something even much better than that, okay? Our person is new, not just the clothes that we wear. From the inside out, God says that He has born us again. We are like new again, okay? The old has gone. And that really is that good news, all right? Verse 6, all right? Whom He poured on us richly. Remember, we're talking about the grace of God, and because of His mercy, He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so this work that God is doing in each and every one of our lives, it is something that the Bible says here, He's not stingy with. He didn't just give us enough and then, okay, yeah, that's fine, right? No. Remember last week we were talking about God's grace is so abundant, it's almost like it's excessive. There's so much of it, we don't even know what to do with it. That's how amazing God's grace is for us, okay? And so He poured out this grace on us so richly. And then here we are back to the main verse. Okay, verse 7. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, so this is the justifying grace of God. Now, what does it mean to be justified by God? What does it mean to be justified? Pause for effect. Okay, let you think. Okay, to let you think. All right. And I think what would really describe it best is the gospel of Jesus. Okay, so for those of you who may be new here, let me summarize the gospel. This is the summary by Pastor Rice Brooks. And I want us to read this together. Okay, I'm going to step aside. We're going to read it together. One, two, go. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to everyone who repents and believes in him. Okay? This is what it means to be justified by God. You see, all of us, because we are epic failures in that sense when it comes to, you know, our relationship with God and the distance between us and God, because of that failure, we actually deserve to die, okay? The Bible says for the penalty of our sins is death, okay? That is our you know, in fact, it says the wages of our sin is death. That means what we deserve, the thing that we deserve the most is actually to be put to death, or at least to be far away from God. Okay, that is what we deserve, not even to come close. But because of his grace, this is what happens. Remember, he poured out so lavishly on all of us. He poured out richly. He wasn't stingy. In fact, the Bible says that he gave his one and only begotten Son because he so loved us, right? And so God sent Jesus Christ, and this Jesus, he not only lived the life that we should have lived, he was perfect in every way, in the sense of, you know, living before God, on living close to God and having that relationship that all of us, we are supposed to have. You remember back in the garden, right? Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, he walked among them. That means when God created Adam and Eve, his original intention is for Adam and Eve to walk closely together with God. Okay? It is the same for all of us. You see, Adam represents all of mankind. Okay? That's what the Bible says. And so, all of us, we are supposed to walk so close with God, but many of us do not, correct? Many of us, we sin, we are far away from God. And so the justifying grace, the act of justification is this, that Jesus himself, he lived the life we should have lived, but he also took the penalty for our sins. He took our shame, he took our guilt, he took everything wrong on himself, and he died on that cross so that all of us, we can enter into an eternal life with Jesus, okay? You see, when the Bible says that, okay, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him, okay, will not only come to repentance, but to have eternal life. It's not talking about going up to heaven, okay? Nobody cares if you go. The point of eternal life is this, that we will have an eternal relationship with God. Okay, that we can come back again to be close to God once more, just like Adam and Eve was before they decided to go and disobey God. All right? That is his justifying grace. Now, this justifying grace, okay, it says here, it's for those who repent and believe in him. Now, many of you here, you believe in him, but have you repented? You see, in order for us to receive this grace, to receive this act of justification, the repentance there is needed. That means all of us, although this is what God did for the entire world, but the entire world doesn't know him now, correct? Right? What is the gap there? The gap there is we need to respond to that grace. We need to learn how to receive that grace. We need to learn how to position ourselves so that this grace, this justifying grace, can be active and alive in our lives. And the way we respond to that is by repentance. Okay, so turn to someone next to you and say, repent. Okay, now, we don't like to hear the word repentance in church very much. It's a very heavy word. But the Bible says, okay, that Paul and all the apostles and the disciples, they went around, okay, preaching repentance to the people. When John the Baptist came in the Bible, okay, to proclaim that Jesus is coming, you know what he said? He said, you know, repent and be baptized, okay, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The repentance is the act that you and I do so that we can receive his justifying grace for us. Okay, so back to the earlier question. In our lives, there are times that even though I believe a lot of us, we've already repented, right? A lot of us, we came before God one time in our life and we said, you know, God, come into my life. I want to follow you. You know, I want to, you know, all that thing. And, you know, we receive the salvation from God. We receive the justifying grace from God. Along the way, we can feel guilty, right? Especially when we fall. Along the way, we can feel condemned and so forth. Okay, so let me tell you a story about myself. Now, many of you would probably know that there was a period in my life when I went through the Great Depression, okay? So things happened in my life. My girlfriend dumped me. That was the one of the big factors, okay? You know, you feel hurt. You know, you feel like, oh, man. But not only that, because of that, I started failing in my exams, you know? So overall, I really felt like a failure, okay? I wasn't doing well after the whole thing. I was super emotional and all that. You know, I wasn't doing well in terms of relationship and failing and all that. And so every day when I was in this depression, it's so hard to even wake up from bed. It's so hard to want to face life and face reality. Okay, I don't know how many of you have been in those kind of situations, but that was my reality at the time. And to make matters worse, I began hearing a voice. I'm not sure if it's my own voice, it's the enemy's, or it's someone's voice, okay, that said that, Bernard, you see, you are such a failure. Bernard, you see, you are not good enough for even God's love. That's what I felt. And so I felt condemned. I felt ashamed, okay, when I felt like I didn't even want to be around people because I was feeling like they would know that I'm such a failure. Okay, that was the position I was in, okay? And all of us here, if you are Christian, we do struggle from time to time with sin. And because we struggle with it, we then have difficulty believing that we are actually free from sin. Okay? We have difficulty believing that that we are really saved by grace through faith. We have difficulty believing that God is real in our life and that God wants to save us, okay? But today, I'm here to tell you the good news. I now realize, okay, or at least how I got out of that, I realize that what the voice that I've been hearing is actually not true at all, okay? That is a false voice. That is a fake voice. All right, it is not the voice of God because that's not what the Bible says. In fact, what the Bible says is this, okay? It says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Right? And so if you are here and you are following God, okay, you're taking that steps, okay, and you're in faith, and you somehow struggle with sin, okay, and you fall and all that. If you ever felt that you have been condemned, if you ever felt that when you do that, man, I feel so guilty, this is the good news for you, okay? As long as you have repented of that sin, you come before God, the Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you have done that and you still feel condemned, let me assure you that that voice is not God's voice because God doesn't even remember your sin any longer. He doesn't remember that you have fallen. He doesn't remember that he is so graceful that he has chose to put that aside. He will no longer, the Bible says, count that sin towards you. No longer. It can never come up again. And so if it does come up, we know it is not from God. Correct? Make logical sense? Right? And so we have to fight against that. We have to declare to that voice and say, no, it's not true. You know, we have to go against that accusation that is pointed towards us, almost like a gun pointed towards you, you know, accusation. Hey, isn't that right? We have to tell that person, that voice that accuses, hey, that's not God at all. Because according to the promise, according to the word of God, it says, I am now no longer condemned because I am in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are no longer condemned. Turn to a different neighbor and tell them, you have been set free. All right, good. Okay? So this. So don't ever feel, in terms of your eternity, don't ever feel like we are justified by our feelings. You see, today, you and I, we are not saved because of the way we feel. Even though you feel kind of, even feel, it's not you, you are not justified by how you feel. We are justified by His grace. Amen? All right? And that is the good news of God. Okay? Now, because we are justified, now what? Okay, now that you have been set free, now that you have no longer under condemnation, do you know why God saved us? Do you know why God extends His mercy towards us? It's coming out in the next verse, okay? Let's see. Okay. Remember our key verse was verse 7, right? At the beginning of this chapter, the very first verse, it tells you why God even put this in the Bible, okay? It says here, remind them. Turn to your neighbor and remind yourself. Okay, we remind ourselves, okay? To be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. That means when Paul was writing this, he was telling the people, hey, remind yourselves to be submissive to rulers, authorities, and then he says this, remind yourself to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. In fact, if you look at your Bible, over here, the title will say, you know, be ready for good work. Okay, that is the whole essence, the whole context of this verse is for us to learn how to be ready for every good work. Okay, then it says God's justifying grace is poured out to you. All right, so this is the opening title. We look at the closing statement of this justifying grace. Jump to verse 8. It says here, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. First was remind, now it's insist, okay? So that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. In other words, the reason why God takes away our guilt and our shame and all that is so that we can do good works, okay? So God didn't save us because of good works. We always like to say God saved us for good works, okay? You, today, and I, of course, all of us, we are meant to do good work. When God created us, it's not just so that, you know, we can just exist. No, that was not the point. But you remember, He gave Adam and Eve the command, okay, to go into the world, to subdue the world, to have dominion over it. There was a purpose for every one of us. See, all of us here, God created us with a purpose in mind. And that purpose is the good work of God. Okay? All right? You were made for good work. Everybody say, I am made for good work. And so, God came in to save us because in our condition, we couldn't do the good work. He had to justify us. He had to cleanse us. He had to renew us so that we can now be free, right, to do what God really has called us to do. He has saved us for righteousness, to do the right works, not just good works. All right? Here in a passage in Luke, it describes the good work that Jesus Himself is doing, okay? Let's read this together, okay? Luke 4, verse 18. 1, 2, go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are being oppressed. This is the good work that Jesus Himself described that He is doing, okay? And so when God sent Jesus, okay, His purpose and His task was to proclaim good news to people who were poor, not just monetarily poor, but people who were poor in spirit. That means people that did not know God, that were far away and all that, so that they can come close. Not only that, He was proclaiming liberty, okay? He set at liberty. There's two word liberty here. He wants people to be free, okay, from the oppression of sin, to be free from the effects, okay, and the punishment of of death, right? And it also says that the work that he does is the recovering of sight to the blind, that people can see again, that people will be healed. This is the good work that God himself said that he was doing among us, okay? And in this church, that is exactly, I really believe that this church, as we exist, we are not here to just have a service, everyone come, you know, to be happy and to have fellowship. No, we are actually doing the same work that Jesus has called us to do. Because in the Bible, Jesus himself said that, you know, a slave is not more than his master. That means a slave cannot do, you know, cannot be above his master. Does that make sense? That means we must do the very same work that Jesus himself does. That is what it means to do good work. Okay? So in this church today, I want all of you to see this, okay, and to be clear. All right? We have different volunteer teams. Okay, we're revamping a little bit the volunteer teams for 2020. And this is it. Let me just move aside for you to see. If you were not here for the prayer meeting on Thursday, I was explaining this. This is a brief layout, a very rough layout of our current church. Okay, so on the left, you can see that's the main hall. On the right, we have the kids' room. Okay, everywhere in between, we've got different teams serving different capacity. Okay, we've got 9 teams up currently, and we need more people, okay, to be able to serve. But let me put that aside for now, and I just want to say this. I think all the volunteers, all of you serving here, you don't really get to see the impact that you're making to people. I don't think so. You see, as the pastor, because I stand here, I can see you, all right? And because I'm the pastor, after the service, people would come up to me, and I cannot begin to tell you the many different stories of different people, okay? There are different people coming up to me and say, wow, Pastor, you know, that service was so good because I felt the touch of God. Pastor, the service was so good because, you know, I really felt that when you gave that word, that was the exact word that was needed for our situation and so on and so on. You cannot get to see because you are looking forward. The people who are crying, the people who are being touched by God, we see that here, okay? And I just want to highlight to you, as a church, we don't, again, exist so that we can be happy together. No, we are existing so that people can be set free. We are existing so that people can be healed. Okay, remember, we pray for people for healing. There's a prayer call. There will be one at the end where you can be prayed for if you're sick, if you're like Philip, who was having influenza a few days ago, and then we prayed. After the next day, he got healed. You see? Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, so that's the good work that we are doing. And it won't be possible if not for the work and effort and sacrifice of every volunteer. Okay, so can we give the volunteers in this church a big round? Thank you so much for your sacrifice. Thank you so much for your serving. The point is this, okay? We make a difference. Okay, we make a difference in people's life. We make a difference in proclaiming the gospel, in proclaiming the good news to people who have not heard it. Amen? Right? And so, if you are not serving today, we really want to encourage you to sign up and serve. Is that okay? So that we can do even greater things. And so, just a quick interactive thing. Can I get all of you to pull out your phones and aim that at the QR code? Okay? So, most of your phones now, your camera app will be able to read this QR code. Just snap a photo or go to the link. Don't have to fill in the form, okay? Just snap a photo first. All right, everybody just pull out your phones. I'll step aside. All right, yes. Just take a photo there. You can load the link. If you can't get it, there is the URL there. You can just put it into your browser. All right? Oh, it's still taking. Okay. Go for it. I thought you done and you wanted to take me. Yes. No, I'm too vain. Okay? All right, okay, yes, all of you are there. Don't worry about filling it up. You can go back. The reason why I ask you to take it is so that when you go back, the first thing you see, wait a minute, I'm supposed to sign up, okay? Now, when you go into that, there is a form, okay? The form will tell you some of the things that you may be interested in, because you may not know whether you can commit, you don't know the commitment, all that. So it's okay. You just mark your interest first, okay? Then the relevant people will contact you. They'll tell you, okay, maybe this one, you need to serve 2 hours once a month or whatever it is, okay? They will contact you. So you just mark the things that you think you may be interested in joining. That's all. All right, can everyone do that? Okay, and the reason why I ask everyone to do that is here, okay? In John 14, 12, it says this, okay? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, okay? And greater works than this will he do, because I'm going to the Father. You see, Jesus has called you and I to do the very same work. But not only that, we are to do greater works than this, because God, Jesus has already ascended, because he's already interceding for us, because he's already sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the good work. Isn't that great? Right? Now today, we're going to bring the service to a close. Why don't you guys all stand with me? Because I feel very alone just standing myself, okay? And I want to say this. I wonder what it's like for us to live a life that we don't have to always run away from God. Okay? My son, Ender, nowadays, when he knows he has done something wrong, he will run away and hide in a room away from me so that he doesn't get punished or whatever, doesn't get scolded, okay? All of us, our instinct is like that because of our fallen nature. Remember when Adam and Eve, they sinned, right? They did something wrong, and the first instinct is to go and hide away from God. Yeah. I wonder what it's like for us to live a life that we are so secure in the knowledge that there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You see, if we can live a life without guilt, without shame, right? Without any of this, without fear, what kind of life will we be able to live? When Adam and Eve were hiding, it also means that they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, right? Because they were busy hiding. If we were not busy hiding, I wonder the greater works that we can accomplish here in this church. Wouldn't that be amazing that if today we can come before God knowing that He can cleanse us of all of that. And we can, because He has done it. All we needed to do is to learn how to receive that. Amen. And so I'm going to ask the team here to lead us into the time of just coming before God. You see, we want to step out of our hiding places and come before the one and only God under the weight of His grace. And we want to say, God, I want to be set free. I want to live a life that I don't have to deal with sin and shame and guilt and condemnation anymore, because your work on the cross is finished. Amen. So let's come before God. Let's worship Him, and then we're going to pray. Okay?
Declares it is done. there's no sin.
There's no sin too great. There's no pain too deep. The cross declares it is done. There's no shame too real. That His love all healed. Forever the victory is won.
He has broken.
He has broken the chains. He has conquered the grave. His grace changes everything.
By the power of His blood.
By the power of His blood. We are daughters and sons. His grace changes everything. His grace changes everything. There's no sin too great. There's no pain too deep. The cross declares it is done. There's no shame too real. That His love won't heal. Forever the victory is won.
Oh, there's no sin.
There's no sin too great. There's no pain too deep. The cross declares it is done. There's no shame too real. That His love won't heal. Forever the victory is won.
You know, I just felt that as we were worshiping God, God wants to really minister to us and set us free. Today, if there's certain voice of the enemy in your life that's saying that you're not good enough, that you don't deserve it, that you so on and so forth, that is condemning you, that is accusing you, that is pulling you down, and you feel like you're trapped in it, you feel like you can't get out of this cycle of sin, today the good news is God has finished the work. The power of death has been broken on that cross. It is finished. And so let's pray. If that's you, Father, we pray, oh God, Lord Father, for every person in this church right now, oh God. God, we pray, Lord, we declare, oh God, Lord Father, your victory over our lives, oh God, Lord Father. We declare, Lord, that indeed it is finished on the cross, oh God, Lord. So, Father, we break now every lie of the enemy, oh God, every accusation that is hurled towards us, oh God. Father, your word says, oh God, Lord, that you would make the weapons of the enemy useless, oh God, because of your truth, oh God. Lord, we declare, oh God, Lord Father, your truth in our lives, that you have saved us, oh God, Lord, not by our own works, but by your righteousness, oh God, because of who you are, because you love us, oh God. So Father, pour out your love onto each and every one of us, oh God. Father, we claim the victory in our lives in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen. Let's continue to worship. Let's continue to worship.
It is finished. The victory is won.
Come on, let's declare.